This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Channel the game's on?
We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
A question. Tell us where you were, what you were doing. We'll try to guess the animal you encountered. 206-803-ROCK. All right, here you go, guys.
All right.
Wildlife biologist and TV host Forrest Galante. He has spent his career chasing lost species, dodging sharks, going toe-to-toe with nature's most dangerous animals. But nothing, he says, has come closer to ending him than one animal on this planet. On a recent episode of the Mostly Occasionally show, he got into how he nearly died. I nearly died twice, he says. They're very, very dangerous animals. The first time happened when Forrest was working as a safari guide in Africa. All right?
Okay.
A group of tourists got too close, and Forrest, knowing how fast things could go bad, threw himself in between them and the animal.
What?
I got in between the tourist and the animals to stop them before they ended up killing him. It came and smacked my canoe, flipping me out of it.
Okay.
I was flying through the air. Luckily, I scrambled up the bank. It was close. The second encounter was worse. Forrest and his girlfriend were walking through Manipools National Park, that is in Zimbabwe, when they unknowingly stumbled into the territory of a massive male. It was hiding in a pan, a seasonal wet pool common in southern Africa. It panicked. They don't have a flight response. They just fight. It came down to the game trail. I shoved my girlfriend behind a termite mound and ran around the tree.
Of course.
It got so close I could feel its hot breath. It missed me by 2 feet, snapped at the air, and then just kept on going. Forrest says if it had made contact, that probably would have been it. They've got something like 2,000 PSI of jaw pressure. Now,
Sheila.
Yes, even in Colombia, Forrest had a close call while tracking on an island in the middle of the Magdalena River. One came and charged him. We're about 50 feet away. It was scary, but it wasn't coming for us. It just wanted to get back into the water. When they charge, they're looking for an escape, but you do not want to be in the way.
All right.
What is this animal that TV host Forrest Galante says is the most dangerous animal on the planet and one that's almost killed him twice?
You know it, Ted.
Mosquito.
No. He found a large male hiding in the water. They have, what, say 2001 PSI?
It's one of two
bite
things.
Pressure.
And then you see they got Columbia. A crocodile hippo. Or a hippo.
Yeah, that's it. It's a hippo.
Yeah.
It's got to be one of two things. That's the
damn, animal. Man.
Our question, tell us where you were, what you were doing. We'll try to guess the animal you encountered. 206-803-ROCK.
Forrest Galante.
I know. You want to say Forrest Gump. But
I've never heard of him.
No, just, I don't know.
Do you like the name?
Well, believe it or not. It
reminds me of Salvador Gigante.
This guy has been hired by the Colombian government to eradicate all of Pablo Escobar's hippos, or as many as they can. So he has now been
Is he
hired.
There to hunt them? Because their first thing was, look, getting, we could shoot them and kill them. What we're going to do, they want to castrate them.
Yes. Well,
here was the deal.
They
went out. Well, they, not really. Because they started killing them.
Yeah.
And then all these activists got involved and said, you can't just kill them. So that's when they started doing, we'll just snip them, castrate them.
Except?
It's thousands of dollars in wicked dangers to try to castrate hippos. So maybe they're
They produce quickly. They have
correct, and they're kind of inbred.
Well, they want the Columbia, got to be
right. So they can't.
I'm
stop
a hippopotamus.
Yeah.
I will attack you. I can play the banjo.
It's like the House of Usher.
Hey, I'm a Colombian hippopotamus. Come on home down. We've been in the same family for generations. Raising cocaine and seaweed.
Week.
Tell us where you are, what you are doing. We'll try to guess the animal you encounter. 206-803-ROCK.
Oh, I like this one. By 2040, they're hoping to capture about 70 of the animals and send them to sanctuaries in India and Mexico.
Why do they keep doing this?
That's like whack-a-mole.
Man, I don't know.
Look, I don't want to kill creatures, but with those...
They're not supposed to be there.
What are you talking about, Ted?
Yeah.
Hey, look.
We say live and then live.
Well, the other issue is that there's people that live on these waterways and stuff that are like, screw it. We'll do tours of the hippos, but then it's pretty high average if somebody gets eaten on the tour.
Very rarely do they say slaughtered as soon as you see it. They did it yesterday in Missouri with the
hippos?
The snakefish.
Oh,
so
yeah,
they
yeah,
are
yeah.
now just invading that area.
So well, they did it in Maryland.
When we were in Maryland, that's kind of where it started, or the first. We never heard of it.
Yeah.
So, but now they've kind of taken over. And believe it or not, genetically, they are 50% snake, 50% fish. The reason they're called a snake fish is not based on their appearance. They are a mutation of both of these animals.
When did this thing mutate? I mean, when we lived in Maryland.
It happened in China. That's where they're from. But either way... They said, look, if you catch one and throw it in the woods, that mother's going to just slither right back into the water.
I mean, it does look like a snake and a fish.
It is.
Hence the
but the problem, it can walk.
Now, they said this. You have to cut their heads off.
Okay.
You have to completely cut their heads off. That's the only way that you can kill these things. And
is this like an aquatic vampire? Drive a wooden stake through the heart, brother.
If you look at the teeth on these things, I mean, they are badass. They are invasive. They're like, look... Do not throw this thing back in the water. Cut its goddamn head off.
Right.
And throw the carcass in the woods for the other animals to eat it. But, you know, because they want animals to get a taste of it.
Okay, that makes sense.
So that maybe, you know, like a bear.
How big do the snakefish get?
They can be probably a foot and a half.
Damn. All right.
They're large animals. But, yeah.
They differ greatly in size. There's dwarf snakefish. Then there's other snakefish can reach between 30 and 90 centimeters. That's 12 to 35 inches.
Okay.
Jesus.
Tell us where you were, what you were doing. We'll try to guess the animal you encountered. 206-803-ROCK.
I'm start decapitating fish.
Hello, Luke. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
Okay, so basically what happened, this was just after my senior year. So I got off a shuttle from college on the way home. I was walking in between... two bus stations, but prior to that, I forgot to eat some lunch, so I dug into my backpack and started eating my lunch.
What was your lunch?
Mainly it was a couple slices of pizza that I had as leftovers.
Okay.
And I'm almost embarrassed to admit this, but I also had a couple cookies, a bottle of Gatorade, and a banana.
That sounds like a great lunch.
Why would you be there?
At least you packed and you know.
I would have stopped at pizza, brother. Christ.
Yeah, I got some good food choices there.
Where were you?
Okay, so my the shuttle I got off was it was on South Hill, and as I was eating my lunch, I was followed not by one, but a large or a medium-sized group of animals that kept following me. I got kind of spooked because I was afraid they would try to snag my lunch.
Was this daytime or nighttime?
This happened during the day around, I want to say, maybe 3:30 p.m.
Okay.
And I thought they were going to snag my lunch and maybe attack me as I try to defend myself.
And you said this was here locally, right?
Yeah, Puyallup, yeah. South Hill.
Okay, I'm going to go. Puyallup seagulls? No.
My first thought was seagulls. Now I'm thinking coyote.
Yeah, I'm thinking coyote.
Nope, it's not a coyote. You guys, one of the three animals groups was a seagull, but there were two other kinds of animals in the mix.
So you had three convoys of animals following you.
Exactly.
All right. So one is seagulls, which makes sense.
Crows?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yep. Nice.
Look, man, if you want to go first, crows are still in it. Yeah.
But how close to you were they willing to walk?
The third group of animal was ducks, mallards to be more specific.
And, mallards.
Hold on. Could you repeat your question again?
I'm
just saying mallards, of course. They're known to be that kind
of
duck.
You're being followed by ducks, crows, and a seagull. Is that what we understand?
Yeah, a large group of each of those three birds.
All right. And how close on your heels were they?
Half of them were kind of circling me, not necessarily like vultures. I want to say maybe at least 20 feet in the air, and the other half were following me on foot.
And you're surrounded.
Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah, the second half were behind me by at least another 30 feet. But
okay.
No injuries were incurred during the making of eating this lunch.
So did you protect your lunch?
Right now. No, they did not get my lunch.
All right. Where's this bird attracting pizza you get? Where'd you get the pizza from? Do you remember?
Yeah, at the time it was Domino's pepperoni and sausage.
Oh, okay.
Right. Domino's.
Okay. Big in the bird world.
See, if you got a vegetarian pizza, they wouldn't want it.
Or get pineapple, though, and that's cool. Keep walking.
Tell us where you were, what you were doing, and we'll try to guess the animal you encountered. 206-803-ROCK.
Brother had birds circling overhead, man.
Give me the pizza.
Well, I've seen the videos of the lone seagull that'll come down, try to take an ice cream cone.
Sure, yeah.
Dive into French fries. People walk along the beach, whatever.
Dude, a seagull did it to my dad with a thing of thrashers. And he lost it.
Just what? He dropped the whole bucket?
Yeah, I mean, it was a mess.
And then insanity. Because every other seagull.
Every bird comes in, right.
It's almost like that call to make sure, you know? Like,
yeah,
it's like
absolutely.
Basically like Nemo. You know?
Seagulls are shockingly big, too.
They're really big, man. And I was living in Baltimore, man, and I had lunch. I went outside to eat lunch on the waterfront. And you know what I mean? I'm like, I'm going to treat myself. I had two homemade sandwiches. One seagull landed. And I do remember thinking, God damn, they're just big, whatever. And I tossed him a piece of sandwich. I did not realize the hell that I'm unleashing. So he does that call, right? And then just like an S-ton of them land, and they're all staring in front of you, dude. And you're not wrong. It is exactly like Finding Nemo.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, there are 10,000 seagulls there, and they're just staring at you. They keep getting closer. So I throw another piece out. Anyway, it got to the point after like 2 minutes. Like, I'm kind of freaking out. Just put my sandwich in the bag and walked away.
I swear to God.
Because I felt like they're about to jump my ass.
If you play golf in the Pacific Northwest, you know for a fact that you know someone, if not yourself, that's had food stolen from you when you're playing by crows. They are so, they are so smart. They wait at the tee box. They know to wait at the green. Because when you walk up to the green, you leave your cart by themselves.
Right.
So they scout you out at the tee box, figure out if you got any food either on your walking cart or in your driving cart. Then they subtly follow you down. When you walk out to walk up to the green, they invade. I've had cigarettes stolen thinking it was like a package of food.
You see them smoking later?
No, they took it over the fence, though, at Jefferson. And then I had to go all the way around to get on the road to get my damn smokes back. It's like hole number two.
I like you. You were like, I got to get those.
I'm getting my smoke.
I was with Jay. I was like, Jesus, God. So if you are playing in the tournament, the Miles McGregor, just know that.
I like the idea of the crows sitting there like,
yeah. Yeah, brother.
Suck on it.
Tell us where you were, what you were doing. We'll try to guess the animal you encountered. 206-803-ROCK.
If you'd bought a hot dog, this never would have happened.
And you're going to need a new lighter.
They'll steal that, too.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, Todd. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, we're dealing with sea life today.
All right.
And specifically here in Puget Sound, and I was out on the beach. I was looking for a deceased animal that I had been sort of observing for 2 or 3 weeks.
Why are you observing a deceased animal for 2 or 3 weeks? And was it a whale?
Well, No, it was not a whale.
Was it one of them six-gill sharks?
It was not a six, not one of the sharks.
Ooh, all right.
I walk the beach all the time, and it was just on my local beach.
Okay, I got you. All right, so yeah. This animal was deceased. It was on your beach.
You can't touch it. Nobody else did. Did you already say seal?
I did not say seal.
Seal? No, not seal.
Okay. All right. It's not going to be.
Can I give you another hint?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, please. God, I'm awful.
At this daily walk, at this time, I could not find the animal. And I was walking on some very large outcropping of rocks. Very large, round rocks.
Octopus.
Not an octopus.
Squid. Orca.
Not a squid.
Starfish.
Holy cow, this is like 7 guesses so far. No, none of them.
Otter. Rusty starfish.
Not an otter. Can I give you another hint?
All right.
Please.
I was walking on the rocks. I could not find the animal. I was so curious.
Gooey duck.
Until I looked down and I realized I was standing on it.
Okay. Oh.
Humpback whale. Clam.
Clam.
Muzzle. He's a very tiny oyster.
All right, you're standing on it, but it's already dead.
Go bigger. Go wet.
And you're standing on top of it. Dungeness crab.
Deceased and bloated beyond expectations, fellas.
Sea lion. That's why I guess the whale. It's not a whale.
One of those big, you want me to tell you?
Yes.
One of those big ass sea walruses. This is not a sea lion.
Oh, okay. Oh,
sea walrus.
Big one.
Ew, you were standing on top of a man?
Yes.
But wait, like, wasn't it squishy or anything or what? Didn't stink?
No, it was hard as a rock. It was, I freaked out. Thankfully, I did not sink into it because it was so hard and bloated. I could not tell.
I've heard that before.
Other than a rock.
All right.
If you had sunk into it, it'd be an even better story because we could laugh at you more.
It would have been a better story, no doubt.
So how big are those things?
Oh, shoot. This thing was, this thing was like 6 foot long, big 3 foot around.
Okay.
Bloated.
Bloated and dead.
Bloated. He keeps going back to bloated. I get the feeling.
Bloated.
That is the image he cannot get out of his head. Bloated. Did I tell you it was bloated?
Stone Temple Pilots. Tell us where you were, what you were doing, and we'll try to guess the animal you encountered. 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Sean. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hola.
All right, quick and sweet. All right, on my way to work, I lived in Cairns at the time. Nice sunny day, pulling the parking lot, and these two... probably babies whipped around and snapped at me, damn near dumped my bike.
And where were you living?
Cairns.
Is that Australia?
Yep.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Anything. Koala.
No, but those things are mean.
Whatever. I'm going to get, was it a snake of some kind?
Nope.
Damn. Was it a kangaroo, a joey?
Nope.
You said... the two babies or the two smaller ones whipped their head around and tried to snap at your bike?
Yep. Come on, guys. It's Australia.
I don't, did you say snake?
That could be anything. Well, I tried snake.
Kookaburra.
No, those things
kill. Wait. Crocodile.
Yes. One was an 8-footer, one was a 6-footer. Those were babies.
My God.
How big did they get there, man?
The largest one I've seen was 18 foot.
And you said you were doing what now? You're leaving work?
No, I was pulling into work. There's a saltwater creek that goes by our parking lot, and they like to sit out there and sunbathe in the morning.
Damn. Okay, so now you're really on guard every time you go out to your car or anytime you pull into work, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Do you carry a side piece or anything? I mean, based on the fact they're in the parking lot?
That's illegal over there.
I was going to say, it's Australia. I don't think it's hard to own a gun.
So how many times a week could you at least spot one going through the parking lot or something?
Probably about once a week.
And what was the biggest one you saw?
It said about 18 feet.
18 foot.
Damn. So how close were these things to your bike when they snapped at you?
About 15 feet.
Okay.
So I'm guessing you would never fish and or swim in that stream beside your workplace.
Oh, hell no.
Okay. That makes sense, man.
Tell us where you were and what you were doing. We'll try to guess the animal that you encountered. 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Dave. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hola.
Okay, so I used to live in Oklahoma, and we were managing an apartment complex during the construction phase, and there were about 30 tenants that still lived there, and it was a 120-unit complex, and there was one guy who had been there forever. He moved from Louisiana. He was always poking around, always had all kinds of weird random stuff around his apartment, and one day I walked past, and he had something tied up to his barbecue grill. And I said, what are you doing with that? And he said, them's good eating.
A gator.
Nope.
Damn. Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. But it's from Louisiana.
And he's from Louisiana.
Was it a wild boar?
No.
Well, not a bad guess. I'll be.
What about nutria?
Nope. There was a river that was right behind the apartment complex.
Was it a beaver?
No.
Was it an otter?
No.
What's the ones that play dead? A possum?
Nope.
All right. Is this
not a mammal?
Not a mammal.
Not a mammal.
Oh.
Not a mammal, not a gator.
Nope. Not a snake.
A bird of some kind?
Nope.
I give up. Well, Amy, he says there's a river, so it's got to be something in a river.
Could it just be some kind of fish?
Otter? Did we say otter?
We tried otter.
No.
Jesus Christ. How many otters? I have no idea, man.
Yeah, I don't know Oklahoma that well.
Jeez.
Okay, what was it?
All right, it was a turtle.
Oh, yeah.
How do we not? That makes complete sense.
Yeah. Turtle soup used to be a big thing back in the day, and it still is
still big in Louisiana.
Is. And he's right. It is good eating. He wasn't wrong.
Yeah. Yep.
I couldn't eat a turtle.
Really?
Yeah. Just because of Maryland.
I could eat a mountaineer.
Good on you.
Tell us where you are and what you're doing. We'll try to guess the animal you encountered. 206-803.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. MIDI can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Rock. Come up here, top 4:30. Taryn Daly, Steve Miggs in from the Daily Miggs Morning Show. We'll sit and spin, and keeping with the theme of this week, 10 songs to chill out to.
Weed Week.
Chilling, coming up. We'll sit and spin. Our question now, tell us where you were, what you were doing, and we'll try to guess the animal you encountered. I got another one for you guys.
All right.
A creature traveled from South America to New Hampshire.
Subtle, Ted.
And a bunch of bananas. Before it was discovered by a shocked employee at a Manchester grocery store on Saturday. We are lucky enough, one of the workers at the grocery store knew what the animal was, according to Adam Cheney, who works with the Game Law and Fish Enforcement Division. Mm. Thankfully, no one was injured, as the animal, native to Panama, Colombia, and Ecuador, was recognized as a dangerous species, and a conservation officer was called in. Now, the nocturnal animal, which was unharmed, has since found a new home from an animal rescue service that uses exotic animals to educate the public. The president of the group says, this new hitchhiker's friend will remain with the group and its nonprofit for the remainder of its life. What did they find in the grocery store in a bunch of bananas from Panama?
A giant monkey. No, first I was going to say a black widow. Now I'm going with some kind of toad.
Okay.
I'll say a snake.
A snake. Ted, you are correct.
Yeah.
It was a 4-foot-long venomous snake. Damn. It was a crate of bananas. It wasn't a small little guy. It was a big boy. So tell us where you were, what you were doing. We'll try to guess the animal you encountered. 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Amanda. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
I was 10 living in Germany, and I was delivering papers on my paper route when I was chased by an animal.
Okay. A dog. Was it a pet or was it a wild animal?
It was wild.
Okay.
It was not a dog.
Okay.
Like northern Germany or southern Germany?
Bavaria. It was Vilsack, Germany.
Okay.
Bavaria.
A
giant goat.
I'll say a fox.
No.
I'll say a bear.
No.
A deer.
Negative.
Is the animal bigger than you?
It was at the time.
Okay.
I was 10.
All right. So animal's bigger than her at age 10.
I don't know a lot about animals in Germany. A mountain goat.
No.
That's Bavaria. That might have made sense.
What do you think, Mike?
She had very good reason to be afraid of this animal.
Okay. So is it a carnivore by nature?
A wolf?
Yeah.
I don't believe it. No, it's not a wolf. And I'm not sure if it's a carnivore. I think it's at least both, but I know for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. It's one of those that just kind of eats whatever it wants to.
Hmm. Sheila. Fries.
Come on.
Is it obvious?
I'll give you a hint.
All right.
Hakuna Matata.
A lion?
A lemur?
A warthog?
There you go.
A boar.
Oh, a boar.
Okay. All right.
I guess the lion.
Like a warthog, I guess. I got wrong, but yes. A boar. There are many wild boars in Germany.
I did not know that.
Did you know that? Like, was that a warning to little kids, or did you discover that day?
Oh, no. We knew. We lived on the outskirts of a forest, and they would be in groups, and we would be playing in the forest. So, we knew to stay away. But that morning, I was by myself delivering papers, very early, and one spotted me, and luckily, you get fast enough to where I had to get in a tree by my bike. So I literally, like, drove into a tree and used my bike to let me get into the tree. And had I not been on my bike, I don't know.
Okay. Is that the standard, like, they say, like, man, you get charged by a boar, just get in a high place?
That's what, I mean, they told us, run. They're going to come. I mean, they are very... Yeah.
Well, it's not even that they're wild boars. They're radioactive.
What?
They're radioactive.
Yeah, in southeastern Germany are radioactive due to high levels of radioactive cesium.
Sure, cesium.
And make their meat unsafe to eat.
So you got a radioactive boar chasing you down the street.
Very selective.
Very scary.
There was nuclear testing, and then I guess some of the Chernobyl stuff got in there. So, like, the boars are still out there eating truffles. But they're radioactive truffles.
So the radioactive boar chased you down a German street.
So how long did you live in Germany?
I grew up in Germany for 4 years. I lived in Berlin, and then we moved to Vilseck, and it was a training area. So we lived on the outskirts of a forest.
Okay.
And so we would play all the time, and we'd see them. But it was like 5 in the morning when I was doing my papers.
Yeah.
And I just got lucky that one saw me, and I knew to just bolt.
Can you still yell at the boar?
Say that.
Okay. All right. Then you said the right thing. Jesus. Did not expect that.
Tell us where you were, what you're doing. We'll try to guess the animal that you encountered. 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Ted. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola. When I was younger, I was growing up in Sonoma County, California, and I was working on a farm, to narrow it down for you, and there was an animal stuck in a fence, and I was blindsided from the other side.
You mean that he used the bathroom on you?
No. I was trying to get this animal unstuck from a fence, and one of its friends did not want me touching it.
Goat.
Wow.
No goat.
I was going to say, cow.
Goats, and yes, I've been attacked by, yes, cow. Absolutely.
Cow. All right.
It was a cow.
Yeah, mama hated me.
Mama hits you, how far do you go?
I got caught against the fence,
Is that better or worse?
When I woke up.
Oh, okay, worse.
I didn't feel that great, but no, I was like 10 or 11 years old.
So did you even know what happened, or did someone tell you what happened?
No. Well, I heard her coming, and then I kind of, like, came to a little bit, and I was still wrapped up in the fence with the calf, and I looked up. I knew exactly what happened at that moment.
Damn.
But everyone's coming, starting to run towards me. But, yeah, it was just wild.
Is she still standing there staring at you like, I'm going to hit you again?
Yeah.
And I guess
pretty much.
They finally got the calf. Like, they got the calf out of the fence, or at least somebody did?
Yeah. We all got it out. We ended up cutting the wires and getting it out, but Mama was not having it. So
I didn't know that.
See, Mama didn't know what?
I just didn't know the cows. I know all animals are going to be aggressive on their youngsters, but I just didn't, for whatever reason.
You don't think that from a cow?
No, I just didn't.
No, listen, man.
No, I just didn't.
I used to think that, but like in the last year over in England or something, all these cow attacks. Like if you jog by this pasture, man. Like,
oh, yeah. I have read that.
It's crazy. Because you're right, cows, you're like, I'm not scared of a cow. Then
you're
same
with a pig. You know what I mean? I'm just like, yeah, it's pigs.
I don't know, man. Pigs.
Pig will mess you up, dude.
I feel like I know if a pig's going to turn on you, like, I wouldn't be shocked. A cow, I'd be like, come on, man.
Yeah, all. Cows seem docile.
Yeah, like the mob getting rid of bodies, right? They feed them to pigs. Mm-hmm. So feed it to the cows.
Tell us where you were, what you were doing. We'll try to guess the animal you encountered. 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Willow. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right. Well, when I was younger, I was walking in between the woods in Mississippi, and I had my dog with me, and I stumbled upon this creature behind my house.
That dog with you, was your dog bigger or was the creature bigger?
The creature was bigger.
Are you in southern Mississippi or northern Mississippi? It's a pretty big state.
I was closer to the coast in southern Mississippi.
Alligator.
No.
Wait, what kind of dog did you have?
She is a blue heeler retriever mix.
All right. It's kind of mid-sized, bigger mid-sized.
Was this animal a dangerous animal?
Very dangerous.
Very.
And a wild one.
A black bear.
Oh, actually, yeah, a black bear.
All right. Very good. Yeah.
Is it? Is this a?
I was lucky to have a machete on me that day.
Oh, did you use the machete?
Yeah.
Why would you normally carry a machete? I mean, is that what you're afraid of?
Yeah, I was going through the woods to get to my friend's house, but me screaming like a little B-word, waving the machete around with my dog barking scared it away.
Okay.
Well, see, I mean, black bears, if they don't have cubs,
yeah,
they generally will run. Like, if you make noise and get big, they'll get it.
I just can't imagine being your dad. You're 10 years old, or however you're old.
Yeah.
And I go, where are you going? Oh, Shelly's house. Don't forget your machete.
Hey, but if that's where you live.
I know. It seems like a weird conversation.
I agree.
That's all.
Hey, do you have your machete? Damn it, girl. You're 10 years old now.
I bought you the machete.
So how long did you have to scream before the thing ran away?
It was more shock to see me, so it felt like a longer bit of time, especially as like a 14-year-old, but it probably took 5 minutes until it ran.
I mean, that's too long.
Oh, God, it's Willow.
You think that bear runs over and says, man, that bitch is crazy.
She has a machete.
She started swinging a machete.
My God.
All I did was look at her.
Trying to hurt me.
I was just getting some porridge. Damn. Leave me alone.
Tell us where you were, what you're doing. We'll try to guess the animal you encountered. 206-803-ROCK.
I didn't eat your grandma.
Christ. Swipe your ass with Cardinal. I'll leave you alone. Hello, Devin. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
That's fighting words right there.
So I was about 15, 16 years old. My dad and I, we were hunting in the hills of Centralia by a place called like Rainbow Falls State Park. And a blizzard just comes in. We're sitting there for hours, don't see a thing. We started getting snowed in. My dad turns around and goes, you know what? Let's get out of here. There's nothing. And we turn around, and 20 feet behind us is an animal.
Is it the one you were hunting?
One of the many things, yes.
Okay. And you said this was in Central Washington?
Centralia, Washington.
I don't know. Is that in the middle of the state?
No. That's south.
Yeah. South.
South. Okay. Driven by it a bunch.
Cougar. Elk.
You're in the ballpark.
Cougar or an elk?
Getting warmer.
Bear.
Yes, right there. Yep, a black bear.
Another black bear.
It's black bear. They're everywhere.
I was just watching these guys get snowed in.
Did you have
turned around with a freaking gun.
Did you have your machete?
No, my dad gave me the good old Dirty Harry 44.
And did you take care of business?
No, it's more of a shock because we turn around, it's like 20 feet, and because the wind was blowing in our favor, like, it didn't see us and didn't smell us. We're just, like, looking at this thing just trotting right on by us, like, I could smack it on his butt if I wanted to, but, you know, wasn't going
to
try.
Would you ever want to smack a black bear on the butt? I would.
Hell yeah.
Just one time.
Just that club right up there.
Check them bajugatas.
You want to smack this bear ass?
Get a big leather print. Tell us where you were and what you were doing. We'll try to guess the animal you encountered. 206-803-ROCK.
Go ahead, plant one on me.
Ooh, you're that gun.
Come on, Clint Eastwood, just hit me.
Weed Week.
Hello, Darren. Welcome to the men's room.
Hit me good.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, so I was in Boulder, Colorado, where I just moved here from back in August. Had a friend drop me off late night at the bar, and I'm walking around outside of my house just finishing up a phone call with another friend, and this animal is staring me down from probably about 200 yards, and I did not want to hang out with this animal, so I circled around the whole big property trying to get back into my house. I have these big old glass doors to get in, and I opened up the glass door, didn't see the animal over by my house. This thing was smart enough to know exactly where I was going and how I was getting into my house, but not smart enough to know that glass is solid. And so it jumped at me,
fully pounced, smacked into the glass, and it's the first time I have ever peed myself as an adult.
Wow.
Mountain lion.
It's got to be a cougar.
Yep. You got it in one.
Mountain lion.
That could not have been anything else, man.
So you could still see it at night? Was that based on the eyes or what?
So it was the yard area around my house. It was the like track and field area to a high school.
Okay.
So they had all their lights on.
All right, got you.
So I was
able to
tell that it wasn't a deer. It was probably a teenager one. It was probably about 100 pounds or so.
Well, it's still a 100-pound cat.
The younger ones are more dangerous because they're a little bit crazier and not as experienced and not smart enough yet to just fully avoid people.
So how much time did it take you to circle back around to your doors to get in?
Probably about 8 minutes. Pretty big property.
Oh, damn. So this thing's stalking you the whole time.
Yep, I guess so. And I think it circled around the other way and had been watching me and realized how I get in and out of the house. And it decided to wait over there and try and jump out of the... I had kind of a grapevine situation right on the side of the door. And so it was hiding underneath the vines.
Did it kind of freak out the cat in that glass? I mean, was he hurt? Was he stunned? Anything?
It made a good loud bonk. And he was just very confused at why he didn't have my leg in his mouth.
Dumbass.
Did you tell him, I'm a superhero, bitch?
Yeah.
The force field, mother effing.
Behind glass.
Okay. So how long, did it look at you again or did it just saunter off?
It looked at me very surprised and then it just booked it away.
All right. And you never saw the cat again?
Confused by the glass. Nope, not that one.
Well, guess what? It saw you again. Mwah. You know that thing did.
Tell us where you were, what you're doing. We'll try to guess the animal you encountered. 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Aaron. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, guys.
Hola.
All right. So I was standing in the driveway, pointing at my cousin and laughing, while he had about a half dozen of these in his pants, trying to prove they were tame.
Okay.
Everything about this sounds bad.
Where was this at?
I'm standing in the driveway at my cousin's house.
But where is the cousin's house?
Oh, Dick Harbor.
Is he a weirdo? Your cousin?
I mean, that's up for debate for sure.
Okay, how about chipmunks?
Ooh, nope.
Tarantulas?
No.
Because you said there were five of them in his pants.
Oh, half dozen.
Half dozen.
Squirrels.
How do you wrangle six squirrels and get them in your pants?
I don't know.
I'm just thinking about the logistics.
Why does he have any animals in his pants?
Hamsters. Gerbils.
Nope.
Ooh, nope. Good guess.
Are they wild animals or domesticated?
Oh, they're definitely wild animals. They were caught.
See?
He had six snakes in his pants.
They had six snakes in his pants.
Oh!
What kind of snake?
Oh, just gardener snakes.
Still, man. I mean, they're not venomous.
I wouldn't put six cockroaches in my pants.
No!
No!
No. How long were they in his pants? How long did it take him to get them out of his pants?
To prove they were tame?
Yeah.
I think a fair 10 minutes.
He had six garden snakes in his pants.
He was just catching them in the yard.
Yeah. We had a field up by the house.
All right. Okay. Well, I guess he proved his point.
He knows the snakes.
I think he's into something.
Yeah,
that's freaking weird.
Taryn Daly, Steve Miggs on the way from the Daily Miggs Morning Show. We're going to sit and spin 10 songs to chill out to. Coming up at 4:30. And we've got your emails on the way next to the men's room at KISW.com.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.